Welcome to Just JKing, the podcast where we transform your HR headaches into high fives. Whether you're a founder, CEO, or just someone with HR questions you're too afraid to ask, we've got the insights, laughs, and light bulb moments that you crave.
Enjoying the show? Hit that five-star review and subscribe now so you never miss out.
Welcome back to Just JKing.
Today, our very special guest is Erin Ashley, who is an acclaimed holistic nutritionist, keynote speaker, and number one best-selling author. She's also known as the visionary force behind Erin Wellness Supplements.
As the founder of Erin Wellness, she has championed holistic health for women from diverse backgrounds for nearly two decades. With a mission to empower women with holistic health, her company offers 100% all-natural, scientifically formulated, third-party tested support supplements designed by women for women.
Erin Wellness has received significant accolades for their innovative contributions to women's holistic health. Highlights include the Innovative Product of the Year Award in 2022 from the Canadian Health Food Association, the Agent of Change, the winner of the Total Mom Pitch competition in 2023, and the prestigious Small Business Trailblazer Award from CHFA in 2024 for continued innovation in women's health.
And on top of all of that, Erin also received three offers during her appearance on the Dragon's Den in 2021. Welcome to the pod, Erin.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. Now I can say hi.
So tell us a little bit about your journey and how it has taken you to where you are today with Erin Wellness.
I mean, I was, my mom and my dad, I came out in a very athletic household. My mom was a figure skating coach. My dad was an amateur bodybuilder. So athletics and aesthetics were always super important in my household. And from a young age, I was always kind of the bigger kid. It's funny when I look back in pictures now, I don't see myself as a bigger child, but back then I kind of was regarded so. And I was teased relentlessly. My parents homeschooled me because I was bullied so much. And so in that, my mom also put me into Weight Watchers at 13. And now in hindsight, she's mortified with that. Being that now she's a counselor and, you know, everything that she's gone through in her life. But at the time, I remember sitting in that meeting and being 13 and looking at all these older women and being like, you know, I'm too much. My body's too much and I'm not enough at the same time. And I really carried that story with me probably for a number of years. So about 10 years ago, to be honest with you. Shortly after, I was kind of introduced to the world of eating disorders. One of my classmates told me about his sister who struggled with bulimia and anorexia. And I thought, that's my winning ticket. And so in that, that became my relationship with food, that dynamic with food and with training. And this all does kind of parlay into the messaging of my brand now and what I'm stand for. But, and so that led to a 25-year battle with bulimia. And about, my gosh, when I was in my early 20s, I started doing fitness competitions, which kind of became a glorified eating disorder because then everybody was, you know, giving me accolades for looking so lean and so fit. And what, interestingly enough, it was the only time in my life that I did not struggle with my eating disorder because I was so regimented and everything was by the book and measured and weighed. And so I operated very well in that space. And about 10 years ago, my daughter almost walked into my bathroom. Oh, actually, it was 15 years ago now. Sorry. Almost walked in when I was purging. And I really had this aha moment of, as if I don't get this under control, this is going to be her. Now, ironically enough, during this time in my 20s, I started working with women as coaching. I was a fitness trainer. And I also started working in the natural health space as an account manager for one of the leading supplement companies in Canada. I'd also tallied up $35 million in sales for this company. So I'd worked all over Canada, done very well in the space. And all of this kind of came to a head where I would start to work through my eating disorder. Then I was packaged out by this company at the same time. And I kind of had that real low moment where I began to look at everything in my life. And I began to look at the fact that my idea of holistic health has always been that that number on the scale, the size of my pants. And I know so many other women resonated with this too. And they still do. There's so many women that are constantly trying to seek that smaller, become smaller if you can. So around being packaged out, around that time working through my eating disorder, I really kind of came to a more better relationship with holistic. I began to look at everything, the thoughts you think, the friends you keep, daily movement, nutrition. It wasn't just the size of my scale. It really was having all of these encompassed together. And that became the pillars of my brand and my coaching practice. And then I had the opportunity, because I was packaged out, the universe had, you know, gave me quite a nice sum of money, or the universe, but the other company didn't. So the universe kind of went, you've always wanted to do your own brand. You want to do something different. You want to speak to women in a different sense. Here's your opportunity. Now, sometimes in hindsight, I look back and be like, maybe I should go into real estate. That would have been easier than starting my own brand. But I knew that if I didn't go for it, I'd always question it. And I knew this was my opportunity to also share to women that it's not just this one factor that brings in health and wellness, but it's all of it together. And that, so my journey, and then also using natural supplementation is what really came from what Erin Wellness is now today. And how we translate that message with those five pillars is using QR codes on the front of every label. Every product has its own individualized plan. We're the only company that does that with meal plans, workouts, affirmations, education. And that's kind of where brought us here today. So I guess that's the long roundabout journey, but you kind of hear how my relationship with food and my body really ended up becoming the catalyst for creating a brand that supports women to realize that it's just not food and it's just not working out. It's all of these things together and hopefully educating them to do so.
And so for those who aren't familiar with your brand, can you talk a little bit about the diversity of the products and maybe even talk about some of the most popular or some of the ones that you're most proud of these days?
Well, ironically enough, it's the weight loss ones that are the most popular. So, and that was actually when I thought of the QR codes, it was because our number one product is Lose It. It's a metabolism support product. And I take it every morning before I go to the gym. I use it for an energy support and for a pre-workout. It was actually that product. I remember I had the opportunity to have the NPN. And I was like, God, how am I going to do a product that's a weight loss product? I don't believe in this. I know there is no magic pill. And I was driving in my car and I'm like, what about a QR code? Because it was during COVID. And so it's one of the best things I got out of COVID. And I remember I stepped back and I'm like, oh my God, I can do one for every single product. So every single product can have its own program. How cool is that? So I can really support women. So those Water Be Gone and Lose It are our number ones. Water Be Gone is, I think, one of our most unique value proposition products. There's nothing like it on the market really that caters to women for water retention. And I used to always really, and I still do, I'm sodium sensitive, so I'll struggle with water retention. And it works like that. It's close to magic pill as you can probably get. One of the ones I'm most proud of as well is Up and Away, which is our boric acid. We're the very first company in Canada to create a boric acid kit with a vaginal suppository with also the applicator. And that one won me Innovative Product of the Year, where I had everybody scream out vagina because it is a vaginal suppository. Crowd of 150 people. People love to yell that word. And so that
I'm
one, I'm
sure
also
you're
really
the first person to say it on the pod. Just letting you know.
Am I? Vagina.
Not, might be. We don't talk a lot about vaginas very often.
So well, it was funny. Right? To this day at CHFA, when I'm at the booth at our big trade show, people will walk up and be like, vagina. So they just, I'll take it. So, and I think just constantly creating, one of the things with Erin Wellness is we are female focused. Guys can take our product. Obviously they should not be taking boric acid, which is a vaginal suppository. Because if he is taking that, you might want to have some questions because I'm not sure where he's going to put it. But nonetheless, for the most part, anybody can take our products. But what really Erin Wellness stems from is my own personal use, right? So Reclaim is one of my favorite. It's my perimenopause support product. We're launching No Pause finally after years and years of like working through NPNs, which is label compliance here in Canada, natural product numbers. It's going to be released in April of this year. And it's going to be for hot flashes, mood, and sleep. So it's more of a natural form, but also anybody who is on HRT, hormone replacement, can take this product as well. I think one of the big things with my brand is I believe that HRT or hormone replacement, menopausal hormonal replacement therapy, is something that women are going to be using more actively coming in the next 5 to 10 years. I'm a big believer in it. I believe in using all dualities. So all of our products going forward can be taken in combination with that, because I do believe the research is there for women. If you want to take it, or if you don't want to take it, a big woman should have the right to choice, right? So, and have been fully aware and informed of what their options are when it comes to midlife. But we have everything from constipation support, melatonin free sleep support, hormonal support. We're launching a whey protein coming out. We have a vitamin D launching this month called Good Day Sunshine. So just really expanding the brand now to have a little bit more of the brand builders, you'd call them. So our more kind of signature products, like a B complex, a liver support, like those kind of things. We're constantly innovating. I mean, I'm at 17 products now. We have travel sizes as well. And every day is you know, you get an MPN for a product. You're like, yay. And then the labels are all printed wrong. You're like, oh my God. And then you have a it's like up and down all the time, but it's definitely worth it to be able to create these wonderful, call them my little children, and send them off into the world and have them, you know, create such impact for women.
Erin, I just want to say that I feel like there might be other listeners who have a similar experience, but I was also introduced to Weight Watchers at 13 or 14 years old.
Oh, wow.
I know, not Not intentionally, but because my mother was on it. And of course, you jump on the bandwagon and she's cooking the meals and you're having them, and then you develop that mindset. And I think there's probably a lot of women in this age group who have had a similar experience. And I didn't really break that diet cycle until I became a farmer, and I just literally, I could have eaten whatever I wanted. I did it for like a decade, and so it just broke that cycle for me. And then food no longer became the focus of my day. I was too busy and burning too many calories to ever have to worry about. I was living off Haagen-Dazs. That's all I had time to eat. But I think it's just really interesting. I think that that's probably something that's impacting these perimenopausal and menopausal age women right now, because I think we kind of all almost started off on a similar foot. So how do you think women can support themselves starting now for their future? And what conversations do we need to start having with our practitioners to be a little bit more transparent around the value of HRT, what other things you can do at the same time to support that process? I have a male doctor. Doesn't seem super keen on helping me in any way whatsoever. What can you tell us a little bit about how you see yourself fitting into that future for women?
I think the most important thing women can do is lift weights, to be honest with you, managing stress and lifting weights. But lifting weights is a great way to relieve stress also. And not lifting 20, like 15 pounds or 10 pounds. I'm talking about lifting weights. So today I went in and did legs. And if I do leg press, I start at 390 pounds. And that's a lot, but I do only six, I only push six times, right? And I'm doing that four times, but four times six reps times four sets. But in that, pushing heavy weights, women are very scared to push heavy weights. Then when I come home, I immediately have some protein that's going to flood my body with the protein it needs to create more muscle tissue. That's going to help my metabolism, right? Not eating all the time is not a good thing. We really want to give our body the nutrition it needs. Looking at food in a different context, I think, is really important instead of as bad or good. We're doing a seminar series called Strong Over Skinny. And I really want to reframe this for women. Instead of December being like, you know, oh, guilt and shame for eating all the food. And now January, it's punishment and time for restriction. It's really going to be like, okay, how can we use these calories to gain muscle? So instead of trying to lose 8 pounds, which would be a, you know, healthy way to go for a month, why not gain 2.5 pounds of muscle? What's that going to do for you? So switching that narrative. And if women can start switching that narrative when they're training and starting to lift heavy weights, when I do my seminars, because I travel all over Canada speaking, you know, I always say to people, I'm like, I'm here to sell supplements. I'll be honest with you. I said, but if there's one thing you can take away tonight, if you can go join the gym, if you can start taking time for yourself and lifting heavy weights, I've done my job. Because 20 years from now, you'll look back and think, I listened to this lady speak and I started lifting weights and it changed my life. It's going to help with your stress. It's going to help with your sleep. It's going to help with your blood sugar. It's going to help with all the things, right? So lifting weights, I think, is one of the most important things women can do. When it comes to having those conversations with your doctor, I've been very blessed in having a fantastic family doctor who will do anything I really want. Any tests I want to run, he'll do them all. But his knowledge, his breadth of knowledge in hormonal placement is nil. I remember when I went into in my 40s, early 40s, my mother had a horrible menopause, by the way. And she was put on HRT at 49. She's 74 and still on it and thriving. So I believe women should stay on it once they're on it. But I went in at 42 and I said, okay, what's the menopausal plan? I think all women should do this. Go in and talk to your doctor. So what are my options? And some women don't want to do hormonal placement. Perfectly fine, but you should have the option. You should have your doctor say, well, this is some of the options we can look at, right? Especially if you're really symptomatic. If you're experiencing a really symptomatic menopausal transition, severe hot flashes, brain fog, you know, your joints are aching. There's now up to, I believe, over 100 conditions or symptoms that they are now connecting back to midlife and menopause, right? If you think about it, we're losing our estrogen. Like, it's our mother hormone. It's our everything. And all of a sudden that's dissipating. Of course, we're going to be completely different people, right? It only makes sense. And so in that, going in and having that conversation with your doctor in your early 40s, if you're already past that, going in and having a really informed conversation, because once you're like, I think it's about 10 years past menopause, you can't go on HRT. It's actually not advisable, right? But if you're really symptomatic, go in and have that conversation. Talk to your doctor. I know I will be going on hormone replacement, no ifs, ands, or buts. I already take testosterone personally right now. And that's really helped me. I might start taking a bit of progesterone. Just had a call with my doctor yesterday. But so my doctor is not the most advisable. So then I went to a naturopath, and I also have a medical doctor from his team I work with as well. So I've kind of created my own little menopausal team that's working with me. And the questions you want to ask is, you know, what are some of my options? Tell me all you know about HRT. If I wanted to start HRT, what would you say? Like, have some of those questions ready to go. And then in that, when, if he kind of gaslights you or she gaslights you and dismisses you and tells you you're just getting old and everything's going to be fine, they need to go find somebody else. And I know that can be challenging this day and age, especially with our lack of doctors that we have, but there's a lot of online clinics that we can go to as well. And I know you have some in Ontario, and they might cost you. That's the disadvantage right now. They might cost you, but at the same time, we need to recognize this is of the utmost importance. There are three P's in women's life, right? Perimenopause, puberty, and then also pregnancy. And we don't walk into our doctors 9 months pregnant and ask him what we're going to do with it. What we're going to do with our baby. Sorry, not it, but do you know what I mean? And so we need to look at that, the same contents. And if you had to pay for somebody to be your medical advisor when you were pregnant, you would do so, right? You'd put priority on it. We need to put the same priority, even if it's going to cost you $250 to have a call with a naturopath and say, this is what my doctor told me. Can you give me some advice? Right? Can you give me something? Tell me what I need to be doing. So that's one of the things I think that's really important, is us to advocate for ourselves and recognize the importance of this time, because after menopause, for the rest of our life, we're postmenopausal. And if we don't take care of this, if we're severely symptomatic, we could have issues with osteoporosis. 1 in 5 women have osteoporosis, right? We could have dementia. We could have heart issues. Heart disease and heart attacks are one of the number one killer for women. So it's really, really important. And I stress that over and over again. And if women are concerned for breast cancer, there was a 2002 study, the Women's Health Initiative study, that really terrified women. Doctors pulled women off HRT because of that. They've now found that their findings were, you know, no longer really, they weren't valid at the time, or weren't valid results. That it's only six in 10,000 women may get breast cancer if they're on HRT. May, 6 in 10,000. That's a very small amount. If you look at people who drink Coke every single day or toxic relationships every day, your chances of getting cancer be higher due to some of those lifestyle habits than they would be from drinking HRT. So I think women becoming more informed, reading books, I think that's some of the things that's great about online and social media, is you can really find some great women who are doing some exceptional work. Dr. Lori Brado, who's out here in BC, she is a professor at the UBC. I had her on our panel for the M Factor that we did a screening with last month. She's just in masterclass with Halle Berry. She's featured. She is incredible, incredible, right? There's some really powerful women who are doing great research here in BC and in Canada as well to support us. So finding some of those women, following them, listening to them, and really advocating for ourselves.
All right. So just to sort of move on more to the business aspects, what was your biggest obstacle in launching a CPG brand?
It's funny. I think with, there's so many obstacles. One of the things I'm blessed is I was in this industry for so long. So I have the relationships, because a lot of people are like, wow, you've gotten a lot of stores really fast. I'm like, I have the relationships. I also was an account manager. I know what you have to do, not only to get the product on the shelf, but then therefore, how do we move that off the shelf? How do I support the retailer to make that happen? I think one of the bigger things happens after you've launched the brand. So it's one thing to launch, but then another thing to scale. Like, scaling a brand is really challenging when it comes to funding. And there's a lot of companies or banks that are like, we support women. But at the end of the day, when you're trying to scale and grow and you need the funds, it's really hard to get the funds. It just really is, right? So really having to be creative in how you're spending, what you're spending, really paying attention to your ROI, your bottom line, has been so, so important. And it's also challenging because you want to say yes and you want to spend money and you want to do all the advertising and you really can't. So I think that's one of the things. Another thing that's very challenging, I find, in Canada is the fact we have natural product numbers in Canada. So that's an NPN. On the front of every single natural supplement you will buy, there's a number. That number leads you to, you can go to my license. My license gives me the rights to give the claims, to say the claims I do that each product has. That is based on scientific research, based on the dosage that we use. So if I want to use a less than dosage of, let's say, ashwagandha, let's say I want to use maybe 30 milligrams, I don't have the claims. I can't say it provides stress support. I can't say it provides all the claims that I want to provide. I have to have a certain amount in there to say this product will do this. What I find that is a big challenge right now for us is we have American companies selling into Canada on Facebook and Instagram with no label compliance, no NPNs. They're making outlandish claims, and they can do so on Facebook and Instagram. And so then Canadians are buying these products And they're not understanding that they actually don't have the dosages that they need to have to make these claims. They can make all these outlandish claims. And so our retailers are struggling because they don't have these products in their stores because they legally can't sell them because they're illegal in Canada. However, the loophole is they can still sell through Facebook and Instagram. And so many consumers are unaware of having a natural product number, of purchasing products that are from Canada with full label compliance, and how important that is, not only for their health and wellness, but also for our economy. At the end of the day, America has a fantastic Buy America, Support America campaign. We need to adopt that. We need, as Canadians, to be like, if there is a Canadian option, I'm buying Canadian. I'm going to buy a natural, one of the natural product number that has the license, that actually has a license because it does do what it say it's going to do. We just finished doing a video on this that we're going to be launching for the brand, talking about everybody paying close attention to those NPN numbers and making sure that the products you're purchasing have those natural product numbers. So that's a big challenge right now for myself, is we have a lot of American companies selling into Canada. Amazon.ca, they can't. They have to provide their NPN number. So everything on Amazon has a natural product number. We want the same to be with Facebook and Instagram. If you're advertising into Canada, you have to have an NPN. And Health Canada has been after us for regulatory charges that are going to be coming through, which is fine. But at the same time, they're not regulating this. And so they're letting people sell in all the time. And then we're having to abide by the rules and they're not.
So you've just outlined a lot of challenges, technical challenges, just by nature of the industry that you're in. But what's one piece of advice you would give, let's say, a female entrepreneur starting out looking to launch a business?
In our space, it is challenging in our space for sure. But I think if something's calling to you, if you feel that this is something you have to do, as I felt like 5 years ago, I was like, if I don't do this, I'm always going to regret it. Then you have to do it. So I think that's really important. I think the biggest thing is getting mentors, having somebody who you know you can ask questions to. I do mentoring as well through the forum. So I have an ongoing mentor, mentee that I've been working with for 6 months and she wants to keep on with me. I'm like, absolutely. But having really great mentors in your life, I'm very blessed to have a strong support group of people that I can ask questions to and get their feedback. And then also at the end of the day, the big thing I think with having a mentor is listening to them. So, I mean, nothing's more frustrating than you're telling somebody over and over again, like, hey, I'm telling you, this is probably, you know what I mean? Like this, you might want to look at this aspect of things. And the person's like, okay, great, thanks. And then next month, come back and ask the same question. Well, what should I do? But I'm like, oh my God. So listening to your mentors as well. I've had to do that myself, where I've had to kind of step back and be like, okay, they're telling me this for a reason, even though I'm like, no, I want to keep going. And I've paused for a bit. And a lot of the time when I've paused and not done the thing that I want to kind of power through with after they've given me advice not to, it's proved to be in my favor. I'm like, oh, okay, that was probably the best thing. I think that's one thing, is getting a really good group of mentors is really, really important.
I love that. I think that hasn't come up before. It is true. It's so important. You got to have people in your corner to keep going.
Yeah. And to champion you on. I mean, my best friend is one of my mentors and she actually works for me as well. She's the VP of Prairie Naturals. I pay her on a monthly basis. Like we have consulting calls, but we're also best friends. We hang out all the time too. I mean, we can get together and like literally stay together 24/7 and just talk business, work, life. Like it just goes on and on. And then I have ones who, my old boss who sold to Jameson, he's one of my mentors as well, who I can reach out to, right? So people who I don't necessarily talk to on a day-to-day basis, but if I'm kind of feeling like, I need to get some sort of clarity on something that I'm doing, and then I can ask these people and then I can sit with it for a bit and be like, okay, all these people are telling me the same thing. And these are all people who have, you know, exited at $100 million exiting. So, I mean, I'm going to take some of their advice, you know?
So Erin, can you tell us a little bit about maybe some of the unique challenges of being a women-led business in a very male dominated industry, and some of the challenges that you might have overcome, and maybe some advice for some other female entrepreneurs who might be listening?
I mean, there are not, what is it? I think there's like under five or six of us. There's probably under five of us that are 100% female owned. I mean, there are some couples that own businesses together, and I'm not taking away from that. But at the same time, somebody who I've, you know, bootstrapped my business, it's all me. I don't come from money. I have nobody supporting me. Everything is myself. I think there is challenges in that, because even when I got my package, you know, 5 years ago, it was like, I'm a single full-time mom. I have no support with my daughter, right? So no financial support, no emotional support is her and I. I'm lucky I have my mom. She flies in and takes care of her when I'm not, when I'm off working. But you know, to spend six figures on starting a business, I was like, holy crap, if this doesn't work, then what?
Yeah.
And so I think that presents its own set of unique challenges because there's always that fear. I think being a woman in business, there's a lot of times people don't take you as seriously. And what I've found, which is even more interesting, is the people who can be the nastiest some to you sometimes are actually other women. That's what I've also found, which is really fascinating, right? And what I've found fascinating that is if it's usually the ones who aren't doing as well. If a woman's higher up than me and she's like excelling and kicking ass, they are champions, right? But it's women who might see me as a threat that don't champion me, right? Which I find very interesting, who may be at my level. And I think that is something I try to change on a day-to-day basis with the women that I work with or the women in my circles who are entrepreneurs. I'm always recommending products for other people or that type of thing. I think that's really important. And I think the only way I think we're going to be able to change that is if we are truly championing other women, not just saying it, but actually championing it. So, you know, whether that be buying their products or talking about their products to friends, recommending them, doing intros. I do so many intros on a day-to-day basis, right? Of like, hey, this is a person who'd be a great connector. I met a woman in business at an event, I think it was like 3 weeks ago, and she wants to break into Canada. She does do supplements. So I will be honest. I mean, if somebody else is coming into the female natural health space, I'm probably going to be a little bit like, I'm probably not the best person to be connecting you just because it's going to be conflict of interest. Right. But this girl had a different brand altogether, more tinctures. You know, immediately I sat there. I'm like, here's my MPN girl. Here's my Amazon guy. Here's my manufacturer. Like you're in a very different space than me. So let me see if I can hook you up and help you out because I've had the great, well, I'm not so great fortune of already paying for a bunch of things that didn't work with numerous companies that ended up just costing me money. And now I have in my circle, this great group of people I can rely on who do really great work. So in that, I'm more than willing to share all of that with somebody. And that's my way of being able to kind of hopefully change how women are towards each other. But I think that'd be probably one of my biggest challenges is other women, right? Which is guys don't do that. Guys aren't like that at all, right? Which is very interesting, right? So I know there's this whole like support women, but then are we really, right? Are we really championing other women? I think that's the question we have to ask ourselves.
Let's go back to menopause for a second because there is so much conversation these days in the workplace about menopause and legislation and should we pass legislation and is menopause the next frontier? And being in HR myself and having worked within a benefit space for many, many years, I could tell you there wasn't a ton of investment in women-related issues. What are you hearing and seeing and how are you relating it back to, you know, obviously wellness and your products, but this new conversation in the workplace about women and women's health, particularly as it relates to menopause?
There's a stat of the UK and it's 1 in 5 women will quit their jobs due to menopause. And there's, I mean, the Menopause Society of Canada, I believe it's 1 in 5 women feel they are not promoted because they've been in menopause, right? Because they're experiencing this complete hormonal chaos that happens midlife. Most women don't feel, I think it was like 46%, don't feel informed about menopause. They don't know what perimenopause is. Like there's all of this lack of conversation, which now what I have to say has been escalated. And I think a lot of it's due to social media. I think that somebody asked me that the other day, they're like, why is now it seems to be this big conversation about menopause? I largely think one, it's social media, right? With now there's more conversations, people are being more vulnerable, being more open. I think two, our culture has, I mean, we've done leaps and bounds in the past, even 5 years. If you look at even the conversation around sexuality and health, right? That has changed dramatically in 5 years. So I think that's been another reason there's been an uptake is because just now the way we are, our culture, we have changed. And so we are becoming more of a culture being like, we're not putting up with it the same way our mothers did. Now, my mom had conversations. I knew my mom was on HRT. I knew she had struggled. But at the same time, it wasn't the same conversations I have with my daughter. My daughter knows everything right now. She's 16 years old and her friends know. We did a screening of the M Factor. They're the ones who worked it and watched the whole thing. They understand that as they get through midlife, there's going to be a very big hormonal change. It's going to be bigger than any hormonal change you're going to go through, except puberty, right? So my daughter and I are both in puberty. Menopause is known as the second puberty. So I think in the sense of workplace, right now, there's a company out here called Matern, and they're doing great work for women who come back from having children, right? Because I mean, think about it, when a woman comes back from having her baby after a year off, they're dumped into the workforce and it's like, oh my God, right? So they're doing really great work for that, I believe. And now that I'm saying it, I guarantee somebody will come up with it, but there'll be a company eventually who'll go in and then start talking to companies about how they can address and support women in midlife. And I believe there will be something. There's going to be something more benefit-wise. I mean, one of the great things that happened out here in BC is April 2025, HRT is going to be free for women in BC. which is huge. And that's Dr. Z, Dr. Lori Brada, a lot of these doctors, they've done incredible work for women, right? And so that's going to be a big deal. And it should be free, right? We have free birth control out here in BC, but it should be free. If this is a major transition affecting 50% of the population who are at their peak in career and their 50s, this is when you're making the most money, and all of a sudden you're hit blindside and you can't function. You have hot flashes and your joints hurt and you have anxiety through the roof. You're second guessing yourself. We already second guess ourselves as women, right? We already won't go for the job promotion unless we're like 90% there. We're already like critical of ourselves. Going through something like this in midlife and all of a sudden your anxiety is through the roof and you can't seem to function, right? I think is a major conversation point that we need to be having, whether it be even at government level of how we look at this, and also at a business level, how do we support women as well?
Let's take that then. And let's say, first of all, we're not doctors.
Yeah, 100%.
What would you tell a people manager that they can do to help support their employees who might be going through any of these changes? And how would they recognize it?
I think it was interesting when we did the screening of the M Factor, and we had 4 men in the audience watching the M Factor that night. It was 120 women. One of my girlfriends brought her partner. And after they left, he turned to her and he said, "I am so sorry." He goes, "I had no idea this is what you guys go through." So I think first it's education. I think companies, to be honest with you, even watching the M Factor as a company, getting the men to watch, getting them to really understand what goes on, right? Because it can be like, oh, menopause, it just becomes this word. But when you really understand what happens to our bodies, they have a different sense of compassion, a different sense of understanding and empathy. And I think that's what we need to start with, is having that, because you can't have empathy and understanding if you really don't know what's going on, whether that be watching a movie like The M Factor or really doing some research and understanding. I think that show really kind of puts it into a nice synopsis, or watching, you know, the masterclass that's led by Halle Berry with Dr. Lori Brada on it. So then the company has an understanding, right? They go in, they're like, okay, let's really understand what's happening to women. Okay, so then now we understand this is a major life event occurring in women. How then can we support them? How can we look at some of the benefit packages that we have? You know, if HRT is going to be free out here in BC, bioidentical hormones will not be. So if you want to have it compounded, so maybe that's something you go to your insurance company and say, we want to make bioidentical part of our package. So then they either have the choice of HRT or bioidentical. We also know that sometimes it's hard to find a doctor. So making sure that naturopath is on there too. And then also pointing out to women that in BC and Ontario, naturopaths can prescribe HRT as well. So then that becomes something just on the forefront. Say, FYI, if your doctor's not willing to have the conversation, just know that we have this. Or aligning themselves with an online clinic that deals specifically for hormone care and having that as part of your package. And say, look, we want Science in Humans, or we want Alter Ego, or there's so many companies, right? We want some of these companies to be outlined into our medical package as well, and talking to your medical insurance provider about that. How can we make this so this will be part of their coverage? They can get an hour with somebody online to discover exactly what they need. And they can go to their doctor and say, okay, I feel confident this is the path I want to choose. And even supplementation. I know supplements aren't covered, but maybe you start having something like you get $250 of supplements a year or something along those lines. Because even if you're taking HRT, it's using all dualities. You still need anti-inflammatory. Now you can get that from nutrition and having salmon twice a week, but some people don't do that. Having an anti-inflammatory, vitamin D is the most important vitamin you can have. For Canadians, it's the vitamin of highest deficiency in Canadians is vitamin D. Everybody who's listening to this right now, if you don't take a vitamin D, go buy a vitamin D right now. Go buy one. I don't care what brand. A little flash plug for Erin Wellness. We do have one coming out called Good Day Sunshine. It's going to be available on our website. It's a 2,500. That's the daily RDA. I take 5,000 a day. So I go above the RDA. Vitamin D is one of the most deficiencies in every single illness we have. It supports our bodies making hormones. Everybody should be on a vitamin D, but having some of these support supplements along the way, lifting heavy weights, like all of that, having gyms available for your staff. You know, if I had a bunch of staff, I'd be like, okay, you get a free gym membership working out with me, and I'm expecting you to use it because I know your health and wellness is directly linked to how much muscle you have on your body. So everybody needs to be working out, having a culture of wellness, not a culture of donuts and nothing's wrong with donuts. Sorry, Tim Hortons, but maybe you're not bringing donuts every week. Maybe it's like how, when we're looking at meals, we're having meals together as a team. How can we have more healthier, nutritious meals that are going to feed our bodies well? So I think really stepping back as an employer, looking like, how can we look at health and wellness? How can we support women, not only from the doctors, the supplements, but also too, as a company, as a whole, what are we promoting for food, nutrition, and well-being?
So just that whole idea of proactive health.
100%. Well, and I say this all the time in my talks, this is game time. 40s and 50s, this is no more joking around, right? Like 20s, man, you got to get away with stuff. 40s and 50s is game time, not only for your health, but also the career you're in, your relationships. Like that's a big one. I was giving a talk in Winnipeg last year and I had a lady raise my hand, raise her hand. She's like, I'm sorry, I just need to ask, how old are you? She goes, we're trying to guess back here how old you are. And I'm like, I'm turning 50 this year. And she said, oh my God, you look so great for 50. Like, what do you do with your skin? How do you do this? I'm like, well, I do everything I just talked about for 45 minutes. Like I do all that. And I said, but I will say this, I also am not in a crappy relationship. And that will stress you too, right? So all of these things, like we need to, 40s and 50s is game time. Right now, what we're doing is going to determine how we are in our 70s. And I'm very passionate about that because I've watched my mom make really great choices and my dad make really shitty choices. And I take care of my dad. He has dementia and onset Alzheimer's. He is falling apart. He made shitty life choices in 40s and 50s. My mom divorced him and made very positive life choices. If that nagging feeling of you, if you're carrying an extra 70 pounds extra of weight, that's not good for your heart. That's not good for your health. It's not about not loving yourself as who you are. It's about trying to take care of yourself so you can thrive and be a powerful, strong, kick-ass granny when you get older, yeah. Right? So that's, to me, my whole agenda is how do I become strong and powerful in my 70s?
Do you think that the conversation is changing with young women though these days? I mean, you talked about healthy, not skinny.
Yeah, strong, not skinny.
Do you think that they have access to so much more information? Do you believe that the messages are hitting the younger generation of women coming up behind us, whereby we're not only looking at what the scale says, but we're looking at our muscle mass and we're understanding, you know, our vitamin deficiencies and we're understanding how strong we are. Do you think that that's hitting?
I think so. I mean, this morning I was in the gym doing legs and it's filled with women in there now doing weights. So I remember when I first started the gym at 16, I was one of the only girls in the gym, right? So I think there's definitely been a shift and a transition and women are lifting heavier. And I see a lot of older women now lifting heavier. There's still a lot who are addicted to the cardio machines or on the elliptical for hours. And they need to step away from that because the only way your metabolism will shift is if you have muscle, right? That's the end of the end game. I have a 16-year-old who plays competitive volleyball and she's joined the gym. She's 16. She trains. And she lifts heavy. She knows all the exercises. She knows what to do. She knows that she needs to have protein, right? She understands that she'll be like, oh, I need to have some protein. I have not had really good protein. Like I have not been eating my protein and my vegetables opposed to, you know, she still has her snacks and her crappy food as well, but she's cognizant, a lot more cognizant of the fact that she wants to build muscle. It's not about being skinny. It's about building muscle. And when you build muscle, then you naturally are going to have a faster metabolism. So you're not going to be stressed about that anyways. So I do think women are far more educated than they were before, but there's still going to be that narrative of, I want to be skinny. I want to be lean, no matter what. There's still going to be a little bit of that. And I fall into that too. I'm like, and I'm like, no, we're being strong, right? There's still right. Is this idea of, you know, wanting to be smaller, right? That I still carry with me and I have to correct myself on that story. So I think the best way to do it would be to be continuously, especially if you're a mother to young girls and even to young boys as well, to not be standing in front of the mirror, chastising yourself, to not be making restrictive comments around food, but making more powerful choices. I know in my house when I'll even say to her, I'm like, oh, I have not been eating well this week. We went away to Napa for 4 days. We did not eat the best. We're drinking wine every single day. My body feels it when I do that, right? And I came back and I was like, oh man, I need to have some broccoli and kale and like some really good healthy food and some clean protein right. This week. And it's not from, I need to lose weight. It's, I don't feel good. So I think talking more that I feel how my body feels opposed to, oh, look at my body. Right. So I think that's a big conversation that we can shift.
Drinking wine every now and then is good for the soul too.
So. It is definitely. I mean, I went out last night and had stuff that I, you know, normally wouldn't have. I think that's normal and healthy, but at the same time, there's not a restrictive mentality. I didn't wake up this morning and like, oh, okay, I can't eat because I had something last night. It's like, no, okay, well, I'm going to use that for good and go lift legs, right? Wow. And use those calories for good. So I think that's a big part of it.
So we're going to get to the rapid fire questions now, the questions that we ask all of our guests. So Erin, you kind of answered this already, but what's the one thing that you believe small businesses can do today to change the game for their people?
Well, I guess mentor, that'd be more for their people. I think it'd be really looking at what you're offering companies, like what's your message about health and wellness, right? So I think that's a big part of it is really looking at that and how can we encourage the people you're working with to start taking care of their bodies now, be it with supplementation, be it with lifting weights, being with stress support, all those things. So I think something along those lines would probably be what I would say. And lead by example. That's a big one. I mean, I train all the time. And so people who work for me are usually people who train as well. right? So it just kind of ends up becoming something that rubs off, because if you're actually actively being healthy, then the people that you work with should also, will also kind of fall in line too, I think.
I love that. All right. And so now for the rapid fire, tell us about, what was your first job?
Mariposa. Do you remember Mariposa?
No. What is Mariposa?
It was a West Coast company, clothing company. I got fired within like 2 days. I think I was too chatty.
Oh no. Okay.
Yeah. I went in for work and I was just like, this is so great. I remember talking to everybody and I am chatty as well. I'm a super extrovert, but I remember they let me go within 24 hours. It was brutal. I walked home crying.
Terrible. Look what they missed out on.
Right?
What was your best job?
Working for Body Plus, working for Norm Daniels. He's one of my mentors now. They sold to Jameson. Norm created such an incredible company culture. He's one of my favorite people. He taught me how I want to be a boss, how I want to lead. Yeah, he's exceptional. And I really learned working at that job that top level down is how a company runs. If you see the employee, everything's top level down. And I learned that by going into my job after that, how with the boss that was not the best, how it really does here at top level and just trickles down and affects everybody. The energy of that one person affects every single person across the board. So Body Plus was my number one cherished job of my life. Aside from Erin Wellness and doing my own.
Of course. Biggest mess up at work.
Oh gosh. We've had a tough time with the US on Amazon. Now Amazon, we've gotten all our stuff listed down there. We shipped down thousands of products and now Amazon, we're going on right now. Amazon has now put through a new testing with their own testing facility. We've done all the tests they've wanted us to on all the products to ship into the States. And it has to be now their specific testing facility, which is 10,000 US a product. So we're pulling everything back. And then also with the tariffs that are going to happen, no matter if they're happening, I will definitely say that. So that's been a really expensive lesson. And I've had to just kind of like, all right, okay, so I'm going to take this as a lesson. What's my next? How am I going to pivot? Who can I work with in the States? Who can I send this product to? So maybe I'm not going through Amazon anymore, but I can go through a distributor down there. So right now we're in the means of figuring that out. But you know, you've got thousands of products that were labeled specifically for the US with Spanish and English. That I can't sell in Canada, right? Thousands of them that I've spent money on duties, shipping down, registering on Amazon, paying for all the pages, pulling that all back. It's been a huge expense and will be a huge loss. But in that, I also know that everything in my life has prepared me for something great. So I'm like, okay, something great is going to come out of this. And so that's all I know. So I'm just, you know, just kind of got to work through it. It's frustrating, but at the same time, there's no point in being mad about it because something great will come from it. So
I love that. And yeah. So that question is the best learning.
Yeah, this would be one of the best learning was the Amazon situation. And the only way I could have done it was going through it, really. Right. And in that too, my lesson will be somebody else who I mentor, who I work with, who's trying to get into the States, who thinks it's going to be an easy route. It's not easy. You're a small, little itty bitty, like tadpole in a huge ocean is what you are in the States. So that's been a really big, that would be one of our biggest lessons, I think. And I mean, every day, every single day I'm getting lessons. Like, yeah, 2 days ago, we labeled a product wrong. So there's always constantly every single day, these lessons that come forth, which gets you better prepared for next time. So the next time you're doing a label, you're like, okay, let's go through this for a 10th time, even
that's
though
right.
I thought we had
right.
the systems in place to do this. Like we have all these people who check the labels. But somehow it got missed, right? So in that
constant reminders that we need to go back to basics every time,
every
right?
Single time. And the big thing too is I'm not doing brain surgery. This is supplements. At the end of the day, as tragic and oh my God, as things can be, it's not brain surgery. Supplements, everybody's fine. We're all healthy. All right. We have to relabel some products, no big deal, right? So
quickest quit.
A waitress. I could not do it. I went for one shift. I'm like, this is horrible. And I quit. And it's not because, so my hats are off to those who can waitress. I know there's a lot of money in it. I had to start as a busser and I'm like, yeah, this sucks. I'm out. So.
And so before we wrap up, how can our audience get in touch with you and how can they learn more about your products?
So erinwellness.com, of course, is the one. So it's A-E-R-Y-O-N, wellness.com. It's spelled a little different. We're on Instagram, Erin Wellness. I'm on Instagram, Erin Bella Ashley. Twitter, or not Twitter, X. I guess you could say, not as active as X on X, but LinkedIn, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube.
All the things.
All the things that you're looking for, we will be there.
Thank you. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. It was an amazing conversation.
Thanks for having me.
And that's a wrap on today's episode of Just JKing. We hope you enjoyed the conversation and took away some valuable insights to shake up your own HR game.
If you loved this episode, and we hope you did, make sure to hit that subscribe button, leave us a review, and share it with your network. We want to hear your thoughts, your feedback, and even your own wild HR stories.
And don't forget to connect with us on LinkedIn or drop us a message. Let us know what topics you want us to dive into next.
Until next time, keep it real, keep it human, and always keep JKing.
We'll see you next time on Just JKing. Thanks for listening.